that you need today. And there's no doubt in my mind that he has. As we pray and ask God to give us the messages that he gives, the neat thing is there's an ability in that God has and in his word that he gives everybody everything that they need. And that's unique. I could never give a message that's applicable to everybody. But God can, and his word does. And so we can be thankful for that. So we're going to be opening up to God's word here in just a moment and finding out some things from his word on how we ought to live and what God has done for us. You know, what Pastor Dan was just saying, though, is something that I want to mention before. Praise the Lord that God does not decline or refuse anybody that comes. He says that anybody that comes, he will in no wise cast out. He will accept the sinner that comes and acknowledges that Jesus has the answer for his or her eternal life. You know, we sing that song, but there's so many religions out there, and the point of this is not to make any other religion look bad, but the point of it is not even about religion. The point of it is about what Jesus has done for us. God loved us. Isn't that a blessing that God loves us? We're very unlovely people. I know I am. I'm an unlovely person. And I can be whatever sometimes in my life. But the Lord loves us. We know that because God's word says that he loves us. God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. For God so loved the world. If you're here this morning, I want to tell you something. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, God loves you. He does. God loves you. He cares for you. And he didn't just tell us that. He demonstrated it. He demonstrated it with a mighty act of selflessness. He sent his very own son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth and to live on this earth for a number of years and then go to the cross for us. You say, preacher, why did he have to die for me? Problem is that we're all sinners. God's word says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, honestly, every one of us has to admit that we're sinners. We know that we've transgressed the law. We've gone against God and his word. Some say, well, just a little bit. Some say, but as the referee on the basketball court says, out of bounds. It doesn't matter if it's this big or this big. Every one of our sins is a transgression and disqualifies us from heaven. That is if Jesus Christ hadn't come. The Bible says later in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And honestly, I'm so glad that verse doesn't stop there, because if it stopped there, that means that every one of us as a sinner deserves hell, deserves death, and there is no hope. But we have the blessed hope, and that's Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's Jesus, we don't have to perish. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So for that individual, for all of us that are out there, that are dead in our trespasses and sins, on our way to hell, God sent Jesus for us. He paid the penalty that we ought to have paid. He paid the penalty for that by dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. All of our sins are paid for, taken care of. On the cross, Jesus, after he had suffered so much, right before he gave up the ghost, said, "It is finished." His work, his accomplishments, what he went to the cross for were done. He had paid the penalty for your sin and for mine. All paid. You say, well, then what does it take? And this is why I bring it up, because there's so many religions that preach, okay, Jesus did that, but you need to go to church for eternal life. You need to put money in the offering plate for eternal life. You need to be baptized for eternal life, or you need to join the church for eternal life, or you need to dress like this for eternal life, or you need to or you need to raise a good family for eternal life, or you need to, and the list goes on and on and on. But do you realize, folks, that those things are man-made? God never, ever said in his word that to have eternal life, that we had to do those things. In fact, in Ephesians, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll tell you that that message right there is odd for so many religions out there. So many people are teaching you gotta work to get it and you gotta work to keep it. Guess what? There was work involved, but it was the work of Jesus on the cross. And it is finished. No more work is required for salvation for any of us. We don't have to work. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's good news. I'm glad that I don't have to go to bed tonight, put my head on the pillow, and wondered if I sinned too much. I don't have to worry if I went to bed, you know, and I didn't do enough good things to get to heaven, or if I did something that maybe today I lost it. Can you imagine what life would be like? The Bible says everlasting and eternal life. Jesus did the work. We don't have to do the work. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus, because that's all that's required. There's no work involved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What does it require? Acceptance. I'll take what Jesus has done for me, because without it, I'm on my way to hell. I ask you a question before we get into the scriptures this morning. Are you 100% sure if you were to die today that you have eternal life? Good news, it's not your work. Good news, it was Jesus' work. Good news, it's already accomplished. Good news, all you have to do is believe. Receive it for yourself. And you can have eternal life. You could be on your way to heaven today. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Judges, if you would. Judges is not a book that I've preached a lot out of. Judges is in the Old Testament. An interesting time. You remember back in the Dark Ages in the world, and it was a time when there wasn't a whole lot of good going on. Judges is one of these books that wasn't a whole lot of good going on, but there had been. God had really done a great work. You remember the deliverance from Egypt, and even before that we had Joseph and all the patriarchs that had gone through, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph came along and things were good. But then there was time in Egypt, and there was slavery and all kinds of things that were taking place. But then there was a deliverer. Moses came along. God ordained Moses to come along and to pull the people out of Egypt and to deliver them. He didn't get the opportunity to take them to the Promised Land because of frustration leading people, and that's a very bold lesson that we all need to understand, that one little bit, he said, he didn't get to go in the Promised Land because of a little bit of frustration. That's the truth. He didn't deliver the people. It would be somebody else. It would be Joshua that would take the people in. But Joshua came along. Moses commissioned Joshua, and Joshua would take up the mantle, and he would lead the people into the Promised Land. And there would be some the symbol of victorious Christian living. That would be for another time. But they go into the land, and honestly, folks, how much of the land did they conquer under Joshua? Honestly, not a lot. I mean, they went in, and we have some tremendous battles that take place. Remember the first one? What was the first battle that we read about? We have the Battle of Jericho, right? We go into Jericho, an amazing, amazing feat that God does in a matter of 7 days. 6 days, they march around the walls one time a day, and they weren't allowed to talk. They weren't allowed to say anything, you know, shout and all that stuff until the seventh day. And on the seventh day, then, of course, they would go around the wall 7 times. And after that time, that they would be shouting and trumpets and all this stuff playing. And what would take place to those walls? The walls came down. Honestly, folks, I want to tell you something. Those are miracles that took place. Just picture that event. God did some amazing things. What would it have been like to be inside the city walls of Jericho and the walls come down and there would be utter confusion and chaos and death and all this, except for Rahab and her family? What a tremendous story there. We're not going to get into that. Oh, tremendous things. God had given an assignment, though, not to take of the plunder and all that. And, of course, we have the story of Achan and his family on how they forsook. Folks, any time that we go against God, even when God blesses, when we go against God, there's going to be some consequences that take place. And Achan and his family, there's consequences for that. But they go in, and when they get the sin right, honestly, Joshua leads them to a number of victories that show the rest of the, if I could say, the known world right there in that land, God is real and God is big. And the people feared. Joshua leads them through a number of things, divides up all the land, all the tribes set in place. And it's a good time. And we get to Joshua's death. And Joshua commissions them in chapter 24, and we're going to go back to 24 here in just a little bit. But Joshua commissions the people. You remember the famous verse, he asked the people to make their decision, and what does Joshua say? And Joshua is just about ready to die. What does he say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I ask you, have you made a decision, Dad? Have you made a decision, Mom? Have you made a decision, parents? Have you made decisions, grandparents, that you're going to serve the Lord? There was a decision point in time that these folks had to make a decision. We're going to do right. What would it be like if Joshua was up here right now saying, what's it going to be, folks? I'm going to do right. What about you? Are you in or not? Are you all in or are you not? This morning we're going to look at we're after this time now. Okay, so Joshua commissions these people and he tells them what they need to do. Honestly, he gives them the plans of what they need to do for God's blessing. And then he dies. The people make their decision, they're going to do right, and then he passes away. What happened to the next generation? Let's look down at Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 1 is just a little bit of a narrative of some of the tribes and where they're at. But we get to chapter 2 of Judges, and this is really where Judges starts. What happened in the time of the Judges? What happened after their leaders, Moses and Joshua, died? What happened to the people? You know, it's interesting that there wasn't another standalone leader that led people for a long period of time. We have the period of the Judges. Judges, and God brought up certain judges that would lead for a period of time. The people would get right, the judge would lead them into victory, and they would have rest for a certain amount of years, and then the people would go back to their own ways, and another judge would have to come and deliver them. That's the story of Judges. But how did it all get started? How did they go from Moses and Joshua to such wickedness? Because I want to tell you something, it was the dark ages in Bible times. We got God's people worshiping false gods. God's people mingling with ungodly people left and right. It was a way of life, and so much wickedness took place. How did we go so far so fast? Wouldn't you agree with the question about America and our world today? How did we go so far so fast? And honestly, folks, I didn't, like many of you, grow up in the good old days. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. How many grew up in the good old days? Because I'd be asking you to admit some things maybe you don't want to admit. How? And who knows when was the good old days? I don't know. But some of you would say, I grew up, preacher, in the good old days. Back in the day, you know, I was just talking to somebody I can't even remember who it was or when it was. But it wasn't really that many generations ago that even though, I think it was Mark, I was talking to Mark, that it wasn't that long ago that even people of the world that weren't saved, they still had somewhat of a respect for who God was. Would you agree? I mean, not everybody, but there was some sort of a respect for God. There was some sort of a respect for the institution of God-ordained marriage. I mean, people stood for that. It was different not to be a part of that. People still stood for, you know, even unsaved people stood for some sort of morality. And those things that were bad were looked as bad and those things were, there was laws enforced. Those people, even law enforcement was looked upon as something that was good and helpful. And look at how fast things have turned. You know what, in my day, I would say, folks, I didn't grow up in the good old days that some of you did, but we had nothing thinking any of the things even in my good old days growing up in junior high and high school, college. I didn't even think anything about these things that we're thinking about today. And I don't need to get into all of it. We're not gonna talk politics today, and we're not going to even talk the issues of the day. You already know the issues of the day. How in the world did it go so fast? And honestly, folks, it concerns me a little bit. I say concerned because I'm not scared. Or I try not to be scared, because God says that He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We don't have to be afraid. But I'll tell you, folks, that the world has an agenda. And I'll tell you, it's not really to get us. It's to get our children. They're working overtime right now to get our children to think and to reprogram their brains into thinking that this is right and this is normal. And anybody that would impose anything else on you or try to push you in that direction is wrong. And you don't have to follow them. I wonder what the next generation is going to face, and what is it going to be? How is the next generation, how are these kids that we're reaching out to, how are they going to survive and still believe God's truth and call sin, sin, and call right, right? How is it going to take place? Well, we look in the book of Judges and we see some things that I hope will help us here today. Let's look at Judges chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses so that you can see what takes place here. And I'm going to read more verses than maybe what you think is necessary, but let's start in verse 1. Judges chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse 8. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Do you understand? God never broke his covenant with those people. Never, ever, ever. Even though God's hand at times was off of them because of sin, he never has broken his covenant, and that covenant's going to be fulfilled still in the coming days. I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2, and ye shall make no league. Here's his request. Here's his command. Ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from you, from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Folks, this morning, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, it's for you today. We've got to understand what we're going to pass down to the next generation. I want to encourage you to pay attention, that we be careful not to follow what happened here. You know what? Up until verse 8, it appears that things are going to go well. The people in Joshua chapter 24 had made some specific decisions. But what we're about to read is tragic. What we're about to read in Judges chapter 2 is very disheartening. What happened? Look at verse 9. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, and in the mount of Ephraim, and the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And let's look at verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Even into verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. What happened? What happened that there was a generation that was serving the Lord? All right, we have Moses, right? Can you see Moses here? Okay, here he is. Here's Moses, an old man, and he has led the people. Moses did a tremendous job at leading those people. Did he make mistakes? He did. But he did a tremendous job leading all those people. What a mighty man of God Moses was, making the calls. He was a humble man. He was a man that pleased the Lord. Moses gets close to his death. He puts his hand on Joshua. Joshua takes the people, and Joshua goes with it. He comes in, he brings them into the promised land, and they begin to do exactly what God has called them to do, and they get set up. They get everybody in place. Joshua commissions the people, said, "Now listen, I want you to do right." God had, these were some godly individuals, Moses and Joshua. There's some godly leaders around these men. There wasn't just Moses and Joshua. There were some godly people in Israel. The Bible says here that the people around Joshua that lived in his generation, those people who had also seen God do some amazing works, those people continued to serve the Lord. They continued to do right. They had made some decisions. They continued to do right. And those people, you know, Joshua dies. The people that outlived Joshua but yet were alive, that had seen God's work, it says that they continued to do right. They, like Joshua, did right, but they died. And then it says, but there arose another generation. This is the next generation that comes along. And in verse 10, it says they didn't know God. I don't know about you, but that puzzles me. What happened? How could there be Joshua and then the next generation? How could there be Joshua's contemporaries and then the next generation? What happened? I want you to see a few points this morning, just a few points that I want us to see. Let's go back to Joshua 24. Just go back in your Bibles just a couple pages and let's look at Joshua chapter 24. Here we have Joshua commissioning his people. He's just about to die. What does he tell them and what was their response? I don't have time. We don't have time for me to read 29 verses. But just follow with me. In verse 1 of chapter 24, Joshua gathers the tribes of Israel to Shechem. He calls for the leaders, the heads, the officers. Notice in verse 2, he said unto all the people, and he reviews with them. In fact, you know, you notice, again, I'm not reading all this. I just want you to follow. Notice in verse 3, who does he go back to? Abraham, right? So he's taken a little bit of time with these people, and he said, I want you to remember what God has done in the past. By the way, folks, is it valuable to remember what God has done in the past? Absolutely. We need to review what God has done. As parents and grandparents, we ought to constantly be telling our children and grandchildren the things that God has done. They need to hear it. They need to review. But here we have the review of the past, and we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Moses and Egypt, all the way down into verse, you know, into verse 8. And then Balak, and then you went over Jordan and Jericho. Again, now Jericho's in verse 11, and when we're just following this story through. And we get to verse 13, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. Notice that you didn't labor for it, I gave it to you. And cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olive yards which ye have planted not do ye eat. And we get to verse 14. Now, therefore, so here's what's happened. Here's what God has done, and here's the commission. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And he goes through and tells them to put away their gods and don't mingle with these people and forbid to do this and to serve other gods. You stay with the Lord. And he commissions them. He tells them in verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If he forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. He continues to go through and commissions them, will you do it? And then, of course, Joshua, you know, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He reviews the past. Joshua makes his decision, and then he proposes to them. And what was the people's decision? You tell me. What did the people decide to do? Did they serve? Did they tell Joshua that they were going to serve the Lord, or did they say, Joshua, that was for you, but not us? What was their response? All the people, after Joshua gave the commission, they said, Joshua, we're in. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that they decided, we will serve the Lord. Notice verse 24 of Joshua 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. The first point I want you to see is the people were to be sincere. They were to be sincere. There was a decision point that they needed to make. They had to step out and say, listen, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to go that direction. I will not do this, and I will go this direction. I will do right. Folks, I want to tell you something. We know what happened. What's the end of this generation? Okay, this generation makes a decision. The next generation doesn't even know God. We know that there's a problem that took place here. But was it a good thing that these people at least made a decision to do right? Now, the Bible says that the people that made the decision to do right, they ended up dying walking with God. Do you understand that? It's very clear. Those people that made the decision, they died generally walking with God. I'm not saying that every individual did, but I'll tell you, as a group, these people died walking with the Lord. They had made a decision. Now, you know that decision was going to be short-lived with the next generation. We know that. We know that in America, things have gone really fast, really quick. But let me ask you a question. If these folks that day when Joshua was standing up before them had not made a decision to serve the Lord, would it have been tragic that day? It would have even been faster. At least the generations that were with Joshua. I mean, Joshua was going to die, but there were years that these folks went on before they all died. There were years, and I don't know how many years, but there was time. I want to tell you something. If they would have decided that day that they weren't going to make some decisions, they made some specific decisions. You look at Joshua 24, they said, you know what? God says, don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't mingle with them. Make sure that you do this. Make sure that you do that. They were very clear decisions. God says, you make sure and do that. And those people got up, and they said, we are going to do right. We are not going to go that direction. Folks, I want to tell you something. If they had not made a decision that day to do that, it would have even been a faster destruction. These folks, the narrative wouldn't have been able to go, you know, that they did right until at least they died. The narrative would have went, Joshua died, and they went to whoring after their false idols. So my question is was it important that they made decisions to do right? Brothers and sisters, you listen to this. You might say that the next generation has their own heart and they can make their own decisions, but I want to tell you something. We've got to be willing to make some decisions, hard decisions today, to do right. Because if we don't, it's going to go all the more faster. All the more faster if God's people will not stand up and decide not to do wrong and to do right. You know what? Today, if God's people stop attending God's house, I'm going to tell you something, we're going to see destruction all the more faster. And I'll tell you, everything that went on in the last couple years, I'm not going to make any point about I think it was this and I think it was that, but I'll tell you something destructive that happened was when God's people were not in God's house. That was destructive. And I'll tell you, you don't have to go very far to understand that. The world and the media itself will tell you there was a lot of bad that happened. And guess what? It's not ending. There's a lot of bad taking place. When God's people are removed from God's house, I want to tell you something, there's bad news. And do you know, I want to say this, as your pastor, I want to say this, we need to make some decisions today that we're going to keep God's house in the first and foremost of our lives. If we don't, we're hastening the destruction of this place. We are hastening the destruction of America. We're hastening the destruction of our world. You know what? The Lord will come one of these days. And I'll tell you, it will be a wonderful thing when the Lord comes. It will be a sad thing if we hasten it and there's people that are lost and die and they're going to go to hell because the church did not decide some things like these folks decided to do. It's going to come really quick. We've got to make some decisions about God's house. We've got to make some decisions about the things that we ought to do. We've got to make decisions, family, you know, parents and grandparents. We've got to make decisions that God's word in our homes is going to be paramount. It's going to be right up there at the top. That we're going to, I so appreciate my parents, and I've told you this so many times, one of the greatest things that my parents ever did in my life was that we never ever, I say ever, there could have been a day that slipped through, but best I remember, there's not a day that me and my brother or sister ever went to bed and we didn't have family devotions. You say, was it that important that day, driving home from church, you know, when you just sang a few songs and reviewed what the preacher preached that night? You know what, I don't remember what the preacher preached and I don't remember the songs that we reviewed, but I'll tell you this, what was instilled in me is God's word is most important. God's word is so important. And what was instilled in us as little children is that we don't put anything before God. And I've told you this before. You know, growing up, I love sports. I loved it when my parents let me into Little League football and we did this. And I didn't love it on Wednesday nights when mom and dad would pull me from practice because I had to go to church. And I would show up. Some of you might not do this right or wrong or whatever. I showed up at the church building like that, still in my pads, and I went into the bathroom there, and I took off all those things and got on my church clothes, and I went out and I joined the rest of the people. That was tough for me as a youngster. You know, I had to leave the rest of my football buddies and go do that. It was really hard when it was a football game, and I was there, and I had to. You know, I'm there, and all same deal. You know what, it didn't matter if it was the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Mom and dad, you know, I'd be watching because I knew. And there'd be a moment that it was time. And it didn't matter what time of the game. I was out of there. We jumped in the car. We went to church. I changed, and I was in God's house. Now, I'm not saying that to bring up myself or bring up my family, but I'll tell you something. I grew up knowing that nothing is before God. There's not a thing, folks, before God. I'm so grateful my parents made a decision. That's the way it's going to be. Folks, I want to tell you something. The reason why things are hastening faster and faster is because God's people are getting weaker and weaker and weaker in the things of the Lord. God's house, family devotions, personal devotions, separation from the world, allowing this, and over time, well, it can't be that big of a deal, and we're not going to make too big of a stand because we're going to look like odd ducks, folks. I want to tell you something. The faster we blend in, the faster we die. And that's why we're seeing our country go so fast. Honestly, let me tell you something that's going to blow some of your minds. It's really not all the left-wing people that are out there doing this. It's really not all the wickedness of these people that is hastening. It's God's people that are getting weak and not willing to stand up and make some decisions like those folks. I want to tell you something. We don't hear a whole lot of the rest of Joshua's generation. All we know is that they made a decision to do right and the next generation was wrong. I'm thankful that they at least made a decision they were going to do right. I'm asking you, I don't know how long America is going to be. I don't know how long we have the freedoms that we enjoy today. I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. I want to tell you something. If we stop being faithful to God and His Word and His house and His statutes and what is right and wrong, if we start fudging on some of those things, we are hastening America, the destruction of America, and our families. See, these folks made some decisions. Some wholesome, when I say wholesome, I'm not talking about, you know, they were just good. They were all in decisions. That's the kind of decision that these folks made. Joshua gets up there and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? I'm not going to do it this morning, but this is the kind of decisions Joshua said. He says, folks of Faith Bible Church, I'm Joshua and I'm standing right here. Who's going to come up on stage and join me today? Who's going to come up? I'm not going to do that. Some of you would be like, are you serious, Pastor? You want me to stand up there? What if I did do that today? I've been tempted to do it from time to time. What would it be? How many of you are going to stick with it? How many of you are going to decide that you're going to make church an important place in your life? How many of you are going to make family devotions? You say, family, it's just me and my husband or me and my wife. Guess what? You're a family. You need to have family devotions. How many of us would make the decision to come up and join me? And I'm not trying to be some fancy Joshua up here. I'm not saying that at all. I got my own problems. How many of us would be willing to say, you know what? We're with you. We're all in. We are sold out. The problem with the problems that we're seeing today is because we're losing the people that are making the decision to sell out. I'm grateful that there was a group of people that were sincere. They were sincere. And we see that word in verse 14 of Joshua 24. They were sincere in sincerity and truth. They were going to be all out. They were going to be sold out group of people. You know what? The next generation would suffer really quickly, but we praise the Lord for a group of sincere people. All right, let's just assume just for a moment that the people that are sitting here are sincere people. Make a decision. Joshua, I'm with you. You know, and if I made an invitation that every one of you would come forward and you'd say, yep, we're going to do this. Let's just assume that. Let's go on to the next point. You see, the people were to be sincere, but second of all, the people were to be communicating. Go back to Deuteronomy. Now, we're dealing with the same group of people. Just a little bit earlier, we're into Deuteronomy. I say the same people. I don't know if individually, but the nation of Israel, their forefathers. Deuteronomy. Of course, we have a lot of the law that's given out, the things that they were to do, the things they were not to do. Keep your fingers here in Judges because we're going to come right back. But if you go back to Deuteronomy, and we're going to look at chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, there's some very clear instructions of what and how, what things they were supposed to do, specifically concerning the word of the Lord and what God had given to these folks. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gives some instructions. Moses is given some instructions. And here's what he says. And we could go into all of this, but I'm not going to read it all. But I want you to see verses 6 to 12. In verse 5, there's, you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That sounds like the sincerity that we just talked about. All out, all in, okay? You got to be all in, he says in verse 5. And then he says in verse 6, and these words, so everything that I just gave you in the word of God for us, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Okay, there again, everybody look up here. Did you catch that? In thine heart. So he's talking about their sincerity. So he says, you got to have it in yours first. Yours first to be able to pass down. You can't pass down anything that's not in yours. And again, I can spend a lot of time preaching that. I'm not going today. It was first in their heart, but then notice, shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them. Who's that? Who's that referring to? Who? And thou shalt teach them. Okay, God's truths to unto thy children. Okay, teach God's truths to their children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And we go on and on. What's the point he's making? He said, you better make God's word, you better make that so important in your family's life. It needs to be in your heart, and it needs to be in their heart. These people were to be communicating people. So they had to be sincere of themselves. And question, were these people in Judges chapter 2, or, well, not Judges chapter 2, in Judges chapter 1 and in Joshua 24, were those people sincere? Had they made some decisions for themselves they were going to do right? What's the answer? Yes, they had. And they were sincere about it. They had made some decisions about how they were going to live. There was something else that they were supposed to do, and that's that they were supposed to communicate all the things of God to the next generation. Did you catch the words there? I mean, you've got to give God's word when you're out and about in life. Folks, I want to tell you something. Parents and grandparents, when we're out and about in life, doing whether we're in the grocery store, or whether we're at the park, or whether we're at work or whatever, we've got to be instilling God's truths in the hearts and lives of the people that we're around, especially our children. Taking every opportunity to share them God's truths, every opportunity. And I'll tell you what's at stake. If we don't communicate, they won't know. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm very burdened about this issue. We've got to pass down. They won't get in the boat if you're following my illustration that I gave last week. Remember Noah in the boat? Nobody else got in the boat except his family. But praise the Lord, those family got in the boat. I want to tell you something. Noah could be a proud man that his family got in the boat at least. And for me, same thing. If my children gets in the boat, praise the Lord for it. But I'll tell you what, everybody listen. Parents and grandparents are not going to get in the boat if we don't communicate to them. Did you hear that? If we won't communicate who God is and what He does, they're probably not going to get in the boat. And I say that because you know what? God's an amazing God of grace. And even when we fail as parents, somehow He still does work that we don't do. But can I tell you, God tells us and instructs us, parents and grandparents, you make sure you communicate with them every moment of the day. When you're out and about, when you're sitting in your living room, when you go to the dinner table, when you're ready to go to bed, when you're getting up in the morning, you find ways to give the next generation the truth of God's word. Make sure. I want to tell you something. Grandparents, you know, you think that maybe you're in a place, hey, Pastor, I really don't have too much freedom. My grandkids, they've got their parents, and their parents are doing this, and I don't really have a whole lot. You know what? And I understand that. And by the way, you need to respect that. You need to respect what your children are doing with their children. But as you get opportunity to pass down God's truth in your life, we need to make sure and do it because the next generation is at stake. They were to communicate so much. You say, did they communicate? Now, right on the outside, it doesn't seem like they did. Notice, go back to Judges chapter 2. Now this is just looking at it without studying it too much. Without studying it, we look at verse 10. And verse 10 says what? And there arose another generation after them which, what are the next two words? Knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. Now, we're going to get into it in my third point here, that knowing not. It could be debated that they knew. Had they communicated? Now, was the generation of Joshua, had they made some decisions to do right? What's the answer? They did. It's to be debated whether they communicated properly to their generation. You could look at it on the outside and say they didn't even know. And again, the word that's used there can be debated on what it really meant. We don't have a whole lot. Did they know some things about it? Did they have any knowledge? Did mom and dad tell them what God did? You know, when they crossed over Jordan, did they tell them the stories of Jericho? Did they tell them the sin of Achan and Ai? What about, I don't know. I know one thing, it says that they knew not God. So at this point in the message, I'm going to say that we don't know. Maybe, maybe not. How are our kids going to know if somebody doesn't tell them? And by the way, it's not the job of the pastor. It's the job of the parents. And it's the job of the grandparents. But listen to this. As you have a responsibility as parents and grandparents, God has given you some tools in the local church to help you as well. And by the way, that's our philosophy here at Faith, is we believe first it's the parents' and grandparents' job to pass down to the next generation. But we don't miss out on what God gives the church and the elderly people and the elderly men and the ladies to pass down to the next generation the things that God has taught them as well. So if you're here today and you don't have any children or grandchildren, the job is still ours. It's our job to pass down to the next generation and communicate who God is and what He does. I have told you folks so many times, and I hope that you do it, we can't waste a day not telling these young children God's goodness. I want to tell you, I've got 5 kids. I want every one of you to impress upon my kids that God is good. Tell them, I want you to. Take them out for a burger and tell them what God's done for you. You don't have to do that. But would you do something, and I'm not just talking about mine. There's other families here that their lives are at stake. What's going to happen to the next generation? But I'll submit to you, they need to know who God is. And they need to hear what God has done. And that's all of our jobs. How shall they hear? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him who have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I want to tell you something. It's not talking about me here. It's talking about us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith the Lord, who hath believed your report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, our communication is very, very, very important. Our decisions, our sincerity, super important. Our communication, very important. Number 3, as we will be done. It was more than just communicating God's truth. These people were to pass on faith. You say, what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. I kind of beat around the bush a little bit with that word, they didn't know. Go back to Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, neither did they know. It says, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. The word knew not. That's to acknowledge. It's the same as in Proverbs 3:6. Remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, and what? Acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Well, what does that mean? What's the word acknowledge or know? I'll tell you, it's more than just know the facts. That's why I say, folks, that they didn't know. I don't really know if they didn't know the facts. They might actually have heard the facts. But what we do know, no pun intended, what we do know is that they didn't take it in faith. They might have known it here, but they didn't know it here. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That's more than just knowing the facts. That's really digging into who God is. I want to tell you, this is an issue of faith. It's an issue of belief and unbelief. I know what's presented, but I don't know if I really believe it. I don't know if I'm going to follow through it. I will hear it. I know it, but I don't know about living it. These folks, remember the good group that we started with that had made some decisions? Are we thankful they made some decisions? Yes. Nothing's changed, okay, in the message. We're very grateful they made. If they had not, the destruction would have been that much faster. Number 2, are we thankful that, well, they were at least instructed to pass down? Did they instruct them? Honestly, if you want my opinion, which is not worth very much, I think that if they were walking with the Lord, I think they probably did pass down some of the things their fathers did. I can't help but think that all of Israel didn't even say anything about who God was, and they didn't pass down anything. I'm guessing they did. I'm guessing they went back to those piles of stones. Remember that they set up, if they cross the river and say, you know, what meaneth these things? I'll tell you what, let me tell you a story. I believe that they did some of that. But I'll tell you what was missing is faith. Somehow, they had it inside and they were sincere. Somehow, they passed along the facts. But it must not have been big enough of faith that it rubbed off on the next generation so much that they would raise another generation. I've said this many times. Grandparents, you think about this. Well, grandparents, I don't mean to discourage you, but parents, you need to think through this, and then young people, think about this. The true test of parenting, listen to this. And again, I'm not meaning to be a discouragement to you. Some of you, you know, children, grandchildren, are not walking with the Lord the way they ought to, and we ought to pray, by the way. And can I say this, take a time out? Just because they're not walking with the Lord doesn't mean they can't tomorrow. And today we can make decisions to do right and to pass down to the next generation, and maybe God would save them, maybe God would resurrect them, and maybe they would change under another judge. God can do it, so the hope is not lost. But can I say this? The true test of a parent is not whether he has good children. It's whether those children are going to raise good children. That's big. That is huge. What kind of children are they raising? Now again, for those of you who are already grandparents, there might not be a ton you can do about that, but you can still do those things with those grandkids. But you younger, you think about this, and I'm preaching to myself right here. I am raising right now, Ezekiel sitting right there. My true test is not if Ezekiel looks good and he does right and he's up here as an usher and playing the trumpet. That's not the true test. It's not the true test whether he's in church one day. By the way, I hope he will be, and I hope my other kids will be. I hope they get in the boat. The true test, though, is how they raise their kids. And I am training those five right now to raise my grandchildren someday. That's the true test. Folks, can I tell you something? That was what was missing from this generation that made good decisions, that probably passed and communicated to the next, but they didn't have enough. There was something about it that it was superficial, but those kids, when they grew up, they said something wasn't totally real about this. And again, I could read into it too far, but their faith wasn't passed along. Their faith, that they sold out. They didn't have that same hearty decision that their mom and dad made. Well, it's interesting, the author of Judges, you know who the author of Judges is? Samuel. You go back even before Samuel. Who was his leader? Now we know his parents, but who was his leader? Well, in a sense, it was Eli. Tell me about Eli's kids. Was Eli a good guy? Oh, man, that guy seemed to love the Lord and do right. What happened to his kids? Question, Samuel. Was Samuel a good guy? Oh, man, Samuel was, he was tops. Tell me about Samuel's kids. Maybe you don't know much about it, but you read in 1 Samuel, I forget what chapter, chapter 8, verse 1, and you know what it says about Samuel's kids? It was a mistake that they took over. I know it's raining out there. Everybody listen as we close things up. I know the things that distract us, but our generation is more important than that rain out there. There's something that was being bred in Israel right here. And it wasn't hitting home. There was a bunch of people that were sincere in themselves. But it wasn't enough to rub off to the next group of people. And the next generation didn't know God. I don't think the word says that they didn't even know who he was. I think that they didn't have a heart for him. I don't think they were sold out to God at all. Do your children and your grandchildren, when they think of grandma and grandpa, when they think of mom and dad, do they see people of faith? My dad believes God, and he won't let anything get in the way. My grandmother, she believes God and she doesn't let anything get in the way. She takes God at His word and she trusts God no matter what happens. My dad, he's a man of God and he prays and he reads his Bible. He's at church and I know that he's a man of God. And he's passed things down to me and I want to follow in those steps. And we watch our kids go on and they are reciprocating the very things that we taught them. I want to tell you something. There is no greater joy in a father when his children walk in truth. And I'm going to give you an example here that's going to bring glory to somebody in here, and it's not me. Two of my kids had the opportunity to work at Servants Heart Camp this summer. A little bit. You know how sometimes when you teach your kids and you have certain words and you have certain phrases and you have certain truths that you pass along to your kids, you know that, you know, and then you hear them say it, and there's been a fair amount of things that I've said probably that I shouldn't have said that those kids say it, and you're like, I wonder where they got that from. It's my fault. It's going to be hard for me to get through this without tears because it means so much to me, but I got a phone call this week. I got a phone call from the director of Servants Heart Camp, happens to be a father-in-law and grandpa to my son. He said, there's another young person on staff that was going through a few things. They didn't know what was right about this certain thing, and they just were confused about it. And they got into a conversation with Ezekiel. I'm not going to tell you the subject or what it was. But they got talking about some things, and that young person went to Mr. Fry later after Ezekiel was gone and said, you know what? Ezekiel really helped me. He told me that I need to go to my parents and talk to them about this issue and get some things right. My father-in-law called me and said, hey, I just wanted to share something that I heard about that. There's nothing in life that means more than that. I'm not at all claiming that I'm passing down to the next generation the right way. Don't take it that way. I'm not saying, folks, I'm doing it right, you follow me. No way. Don't follow me. Follow the Lord. But I'm going to say this. That's rewarding. Watching your kids get in the boat for themselves. You see, that's more than just obedience. That's honor. That's when they have taken what mom and dad said and they take it as truth and they're passing it down to somebody else. That's what we're after, folks. If it's just superficial in their lives, they're not going to pass it down. But when it's deep-seated in their lives, they're going to pass it down. And that is what we're after. That's how the next generation is going to go on. It's got to be more than a decision that we make. By the way, that's important. We need to make some decisions today that we're going to do right. Otherwise, the decline of our churches, America, and our world is going to go all that much faster. We've got to make some decisions as Christians. We've got to make some decisions that we are going to communicate with these kids and that we pass down to them the truths of God's word. It's important. How will they know unless they hear? But I want to tell you something, folks. It goes deeper than just the facts. They've got to see mom and dad living it so much that they know that it's truth, that they'll pass it down to somebody else. That's the only way that we're going to get the next generation that doesn't go according to Judges chapter 2. They've got to see people of faith. That it's real. That it means something to them. They don't just do it, they live it. It's in their hearts. I say one last time, my illustration that I gave has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do about God. What about the next generation? Folks, I don't know if you're serious about it, but we need to be. Because we are this close. It does scare me a little bit about what the next generation is going to come. What are they going to... I mean, their truth is going to be absolute wickedness. Their truth. And they're going to think that's truth. unless a group, and it's not just mom and dads and grandmas and grandpas, unless a group of people right here begins to take it upon themselves, we've got to pass down to the next generation. And it's not just mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, it's the church. It's the church, both passing down. What are we going to do? Father, would you help us? Father, would you help us to pass down? Certainly a tragedy. Judges chapter 2 is tragedy. How did it happen? How would it not happen with us? God, would you help us to be very true? Yes, sincere. Yes, giving communication of God and His goodness. But Lord, may we be people of faith for our children and our grandchildren. Lord, help us. I thank you for your good word. May we make some decisions today for you, for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, can I